This is Christine Novak, editor of Gastroenterology and Clinical Gastroenterology and Hepatology. I'm here at Digestive Disease Week in New Orleans with Dr. John Pandolfino of Northwestern University. He just gave an interesting talk about what we've learned about esophageal disorders using high-resolution manometry. John, what did you talk about today?
Well, thank you, Christine, for having me participate in this interview. One of the things that we talked about this morning at this particular session was the exciting developments in terms of lessons learned from research with high-resolution manometry and esophageal pressure topography. The first thing that we discussed was that there's a difference between high-resolution manometry and esophageal pressure topography, and that the esophageal pressure topography is the analysis paradigm that we use to glean and look at the information obtained from high-resolution manometry. And it's really where the strength of high-resolution manometry is. In doing this, we've been able to make some novel observations, and one of the main observations that I think we're making is that the intrabolus pressure patterns that we're seeing in achalasia are extremely important. Certainly, if you type patients based on type 1, type 2, and type 3, you can see that pressure patterns can help you predict results. If you see a pattern of compression, you will certainly notice that these patients will do much better than patients with aperiostalsis and no pressurization and spastic contractions. And this has been corroborated on a couple different abstracts here at DDW this particular session. Another major observation was in the realm of spastic disorders. We've really been seeing that the detail that you obtain from high-resolution manometry and esophageal pressure topography have allowed us to really tease out a lot of the garbage can diagnoses that go into the definition of spasm. In fact, the majority of patients that you see who get labeled as spasm based on velocity-only parameters are actually either normal peristaltic or weak peristalsis. So when you sift through a large series of patients who may have spasm and you only use one parameter and you ignore the physiology of spasm, you will see that you are looking at a very heterogeneous patient population. But once you sift out the high velocities and you use physiology such as a defective latency duration, you can clearly see that diffuse esophageal spasm, distal esophageal spasm, or just spasm is a completely rare entity. And I think this is going to be really helpful clinically in that now we're going to be able to categorize patients appropriately and now give them the appropriate medications that will improve their symptoms. So I do think clinically and also in terms of research, high-resolution manometry is making a definite impact in esophagology. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. And for more information on esophageal disorders, please visit the AGA website.